How many of you, it bugs you when Christians don't do what they're supposed to do? Does it bug anybody? Is it just me? Just, you know, when you're like, you know. How many of you, it bugs you when you don't do what you're supposed to do? You know, when you ever have this feeling when lights are flashing behind your car and you look in your rearview mirror? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And immediately you look at your speed, right? It's like, you know, I don't think he's coming for me. Guilt, perhaps, of shame, of something happening. You know, how many of you, let me say it this way, how many of you have ever done something you didn't really want to do it, or and maybe you did, but afterwards you were sorry you did it, right? Sorry you did it. But how many of you have ever done that and you were really more sorry that you got caught? Maybe cheating on a test, or perhaps some other aspect in life, you know, kind of like the red lights in the rearview mirror. You were speeding. It's just there must have been something bigger than you that they were going after. And what we're going to talk about today from the scripture, the devil, your enemy that the Bible describes, does not want you to put this into practice. The principle that we're going to talk about today, if you were to put this into practice, here's what would happen. It would free you from guilt. You'd have a guilt-free heart. You would have little to no shame in your life. You would be able to live light-hearted. How many people? That sounds pretty good, right? And so our enemy, the devil, he doesn't want you to get out of your shame. He doesn't want you to live guilt-free. He doesn't want you to fulfill the calling that God has on your life. And so if he can keep you from putting what I'm going to talk about today, what we're going to look at in regard to the heart, if he can keep you from putting this principle into practice, chances are you won't fulfill the destiny God has for your life. Chances are you will have bouts of shame. Chances are you will live under guilt, at least at times. But you don't have to. You don't have to. And the scripture tells us and instructs us how to get rid of our guilt, how to have and we're talking about the heart this month, and how that our hearts can be made right with God. And today, the way that we can live our lives is a guilt-free heart. And so to start things off, I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Here's what Paul writes. He says, "Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance." Notice that. "For you became sorrowful as God intended." Look at verse 10. "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow It brings death. You see the pattern here? Godly sorrow leads to repentance next, and then that leads to salvation. A confidence, salvation, let's look at it today as a confidence before God. I am a child of God. I am able to come boldly before the throne of grace. I can pray today and be confident that God hears me and he's answering me as I pray. And so godly sorrow helps us to get there. But look at this. Worldly sorrow, he says it leads to remorse or regret. In other words, I regret that I did that. I regret that I got caught. And then he says that leads to spiritual death. I would say, you know, in this position that I'm in, I've seen a lot of things go on in my time. And especially in marriage. And I have seen marriages where there's been an extramarital affair. And the ones that make it master what he's talking about. Somebody in that relationship is not just sorry they got caught. Somebody in that relationship is more than sorry that they got caught. They are sorry for their sin. And they repent of their sin, and they do everything to rebuild the relationship. That's what makes the difference. And some, I can't speak for you, but you know, in regard to other people's sins and things like that, how many maybe are pretty good at it? Right? My hand's in the air. Okay? Just, you know, oh, I know their problem. I know what they're, you know, that person, they need Jesus. They need a lot of Jesus. And so what happens is some of us can get good at what Jesus said. We can get good at finding the speck. How many know what I'm talking about? The speck in somebody else's eye. While we're blinded, and how we're blinded is we just have excuses for our situation. You know, I wouldn't lose my temper if it wasn't for the people I work with. You know, if it weren't for the person I'm married to, I'd be a better person. If it weren't for my parents, if it weren't for these kids, if it weren't, hello? We have excuses for our own shortcomings. Even right now, you're thinking of who needs this message. You know, I wish they were here today. Have to send this to them. And Jesus says, hey, that's amazing. That is so amazing that you can find the speck in that person's eye while you have a beam or a log coming out of yours. He says, what you ought to do is you need to be careful here, because what we do too often is we tend to accuse others and excuse ourselves. And especially today in our culture, where we have a rebranding of sin. You know, we don't even want to use the word sin, because that sin word is just a little strong, a little intense. And you know, when it comes to sin of our own, we will say things like, I didn't really sin, I just made a mistake. I used poor judgment. Or some would go as far to say, hey, that is my truth. And who are you to tell me what I should do when I'm just trying to live my truth? You know, it's not sin for me. And so what happens is we try to sanitize sin. And so we'll just sanitize it to where, you know, hey, I didn't lie. I just told a fib. You know, I just fudged a little. Or I exaggerated. Or I stretched the truth. Or you know, God calls sex outside of marriage fornication. And so then we say, well, yeah, but, you know, you wouldn't buy a car without driving it first. And so you got guys comparing a woman to a car and stuff like that. Or you've got people who say, you know, hey, I'm going to rationalize this because, I don't want to feel guilty about it. And the scripture will talk about, hey, drunks don't inherit the kingdom of God. But, hey, I get a little out there. I party. And you know, but I can quit anytime I want to. I don't have to do that. I just fit in. Or gossip. Some of you didn't think I was coming there, did you? But gossip, oh, we can do that one. And in church, we do it like this. We say, I probably shouldn't say this. But I'm going to say it to you because I'd like for you to be praying for them. You know, and just so you know how to pray, I'm going to give you some more details. Or the music we listen to, the movies we watch, or social media feed. And before long, what happens is we can become entertained by what the scripture calls sin in our lives. And we don't want to sanitize this to the point where we're comfortable with it, because then we wonder why we're disconnected from God. Why other people seem to have an inside track with God, but we're kind of on the outside. Look at what Isaiah says in Isaiah 5:20. He says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." He says, in other words, changing the word doesn't change the sin. So just because you call it something different, it doesn't mean it's not sin and that it won't have the effects of sin. That's what I want to help you with today. It's not just the sin of itself, but I don't like what it does to you. I don't like how it keeps you from God. I don't like how it causes you to feel disconnected from God, how it keeps you from feeling like your prayers are going to get answered. And so to look at this, let's look at the original term in the Greek language when the Bible uses the word sin. It's hamartia, which is an archery term, which simply means you miss the mark. You know, it's like shooting and then drawing the circle, you know. That's not hitting the target. And so what it's saying is the target is there. There's absolute truth. And how many know there's absolute truth? Right? Like 2 + 2 doesn't matter if you're here or in Japan. It equals 4. And your truth ain't going to work at the bank. Right? But my truth is, no. No, there's absolute truth. And when it comes to Scripture, truth is really not a book. It's a person. Because Jesus said, "I am the truth." To know me is to know the truth. So when we get to know Jesus, who, by the way, was perfect and is perfect, the only one, who has fulfilled everything, then we understand truth through him. Look at Romans 3:23. For everyone has sinned. That's everyone inside this building, including myself, and everyone outside this building other than Jesus. And as a result, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. So God has this standard that he wants us to reach up to because that's our potential. How many parents in the house? Right? You want your kids to reach their potential. And as a good father, your heavenly father wants you to reach your potential. But you know what keeps you back? Sin. Sin and the effects of sin because you miss the mark and then it messes with you. And it's important that we see this because until you see yourself as a sinner, you won't see your need for a Savior. And we all need a Savior. And we've all felt regret. And we've all felt like, oh, I shouldn't have been going so fast. Oh, I shouldn't have looked at that. Oh, I shouldn't have texted her back. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have gone to that. I shouldn't have drank so much. We all can have those regrets, but regret, let me help you. Listen to this. Regret is not equal to repentance. Okay? Regret is I feel bad. Regret is you can feel bad for what you did. And it can be a legitimate feeling. But repentance, to repent, is bigger than regret. Repent is you feel bad. I feel bad that I offended you. I feel bad that I did that. And as a result, I'm going to turn from it. Everybody say turn. That's really the root of repent, is to turn. You turn away from it. And how you can know that is if you get caught and you're defensive. It's like, well, I wouldn't have done it if it weren't for, or if it hadn't have been for, and whatever. And we throw our excuses out there. Hello? And when you're trying to blame somebody, make excuses, it's something or someone's fault or whatever, I wouldn't be like this if it weren't for, then you're not in true repentance. In true repentance, here's what happens. We get close to God, but regret causes us to run from God instead of to him. See, we run from God, and I've known people who have done this, who have felt like, oh, you know, I don't want any hellfire and brimstone and whatever, and I don't want, I know I'm not doing right or whatever, and they pull back from God. That's the opposite of what your father wants you to do. Your father wants you to come to him. You know, he wants you to run to him. And what happens is when we allow this, and the enemy just loves us, hey, yeah, you shouldn't go to church. Yeah, who are you to read the Bible? You don't do it. You shouldn't pray. You think God's going to answer you? You think you should talk to somebody about Jesus the way you live? Really? Hello? It's quiet today. I knew it would be. But I'm trying to help you here because what happens is you get somewhere and you're like, I don't know how I got here. You ever talk to a person and they're like, I don't even know how I got to this point. Well, we all do one step at a time, right? You walked away from the family. You walked away from us. You walked away from God. You walked away from the situation. That's how. You didn't just wake up over there. No, it was a process. And the enemy loves that process. of us distancing ourselves from God to the point where we say stuff like this. And maybe there's somebody here today. Maybe there's somebody watching. The whole reason why you're watching is because you've said this: I don't feel God anymore. I don't feel him. You know why you don't feel him? Because sin separates us from God. Are you kidding? God is a holy God. How many love snow when it's fresh? But this stuff we got now, come on, somebody. It's like black snow, you know? I'm done with it. I don't know about you. I think we're going to melt some of it off this week. But, you know, that's when I don't like it. And God is pure. He's holy. And so what happens is our unholiness keeps us back. But God knows you can't live holy, so he makes remedy for you so that you can come boldly into his presence. He doesn't want the separation. Let me illustrate this way, talking about cold. When the original big snow came a couple weeks ago, I got out there and did not go out there barehanded. If some of you did it, hey, more power to you, all right? But I got some big gloves, all right, that I wear for such a time as that. I don't wear them any other time. I don't like the gloves. They're not attractive. They're just big. And they're thick. And the whole point of those gloves is this: it separates me from the cold. As long as I have those on, there's a barrier. There's a separation. I take them off, frostbite, right? But if I keep them on, that barrier maintains an ability for me not to feel the cold like I would. And that's exactly what your sin, my sin, does. It forms a barrier. And that barrier is what's keeping you from feeling God, from feeling God's presence. When you are covered with sin, you can't feel God. So let me ask you today, is there something I haven't mentioned already? Is there something that just even while I've been talking, you've thought about, that could be the reason why? Is maybe you're jealous of somebody. You know, how did she get that incredible hair? You know? I mean, it's perfect. And then she's got perfect kids on top of it, right? And more shoes, I think, than Kanye. Or maybe there's somebody's hurt you deeply, and you're holding on to anger. Or maybe it's a materialism. You know your spending's out of control, but it just feels so good when you're doing it, when you click. You know, it's not as fun once it's broken, once it's worn out, once it's what. But you know, you just like nice things. Or maybe cheating in school. And, you know, as long as I'm not caught, I mean, a lot of people do it. And, hey, you know, you got to do what you got to do to get ahead. Or maybe you have a temptation to take God's name in vain, and you feel bad when you do it, but you just, you know, it's just so easy. Or maybe, you know, you just really like to eat a lot. And you know you cross a line, but it tastes so good. Or maybe you self-medicate. Because maybe you do feel some of the guilt, but then instead of running to God, you run to the bottle. Or maybe you run to your computer screen or your phone and watch stuff that, you know, you sink into a world. That doesn't take the guilt away. It just makes it worse. Rationalizing your sin is the first sign of a heart that's growing cold. So if you are a rationalized person where you rationalize your sin and you're like, well, hey, you know, you just don't know me, Craig, and you know, it's easy for you to talk about that and whatever. What about you and whatever? I'm telling you, I'm a fellow struggler, okay? We all miss the mark. Nobody hits it. But when you rationalize your sin instead of running to God with your sin, it's the beginning of a heart growing cold. Worldly sorrow, you feel bad, but you don't really repent. Godly sorrow, it's different. You're honest. And who doesn't like honesty, right? I said, who doesn't like honesty, right? You like me to be dishonest with you today? No. And for sure, if I'm buying something off of you, you better be honest. Come on, somebody. And so we appreciate honesty. This is where we just get really honest with God. And we just come to him and say, Lord, you know the reason why I'm not more generous? It's because I want to spend more money on me. You know that. So help me with that today. God, you know that I have a problem watching things on that screen that I shouldn't be watching and all. But God, in the moment, that's what I want to do. So God, would you just help me with that? God, you know how my tongue gets going and I start talking about people and stuff and sharing things, and there's just kind of a high there, bringing other people down. I just feel like that kind of helps me feel like I'm bigger. But really, when I walk away, I don't feel bigger. And so, God, help me. Help my heart to be genuine so that I can be humble enough to not make excuses and not just live in regret, but live with repent. Yeah, I know you're not going to shout me down today, but repent is this. Here's what repent is. Let me just illustrate it. Repent is I'm going like this, and it's not leading me closer to God. I'm not doing things that are bringing the favor of God on my life. And so I recognize it. There's a conviction, perhaps, that hits me about it. And instead of making excuses and carrying on and whatever, instead I say, oh, God, that is wrong. I am in the wrong. I'm not hitting the target. And so, God, I turn your direction and run to you. That's what repentance is. And when you run to God, it always turns out good. Come on, somebody, right? It always turns out good. And I want you, and you want you, to be close to God, right? Because nobody's here that you get a diagnosis that it's like, whoa. This is not good. How many hope you're really close to Jesus at that moment? It's not time to make up for lost time. It's time to know that you know that you know that you know that this diagnosis is not my diagnosis. It's what someone would want to say to me, but I have another word that I can speak over me, and I'm going to speak a word of healing and strength and power and positivity over my life. See, and so what you do, here's how you do it. Confess quickly and repent wholeheartedly. You know, the moment, when should I repent, you know, after 5 years of doing this? No, like 5 minutes after doing it. 5 seconds. as quick as possible. Confess it completely and repent wholeheartedly, because I want to read you one of the most amazing promises that I think, okay, and I've only read the Bible several many times, okay, through. So this is just one of mine. You can have yours, and you're free to have yours and whatever, but this is just one of mine, all right? 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If I'll just do this, if I'll just pivot, if instead of running from God and say, oh, I wish I was free, but here I go again. I wish I wouldn't do that, but here I go again. I wish that wasn't a part of my life, but here it is. Instead of that, if I would flip and turn to God and run to Him, I would find the power of this verse that he will forgive me completely. Not 90%, but 100%. Repentance gets 100% forgiveness from God. And so we repent wholeheartedly, receiving God's undeserved mercy and grace. People, it changes you. It changes you. You know, when Jesus told that story about that prodigal and he came home, the kid couldn't believe it. I've spent all the inheritance on wild living. That's what his brother said about him. And he says, you know, I'll just be a slave here. And the father says, forget that. Bring the robe out. Put the ring on his finger. Give him a place back in this house again. And I want to say to somebody here today who's been running from God, it's time to turn around. The enemy has been wanting you, trying to keep you running in that direction. But today, 1 John 1, 9 says, if you will turn around and run back to the Father, He will receive you and He will restore you completely by His grace and mercy. Come on, give God a big praise for that. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. We don't quite get all the way around, some of us. Because we're like, oh, yeah, I need it. Hello? See? Because, I know people that got a dumb phone because they couldn't handle their smartphone. That's repentance. See, you go ahead and change. And in the Beatitudes, there's a beautiful Beatitude. And I was studying this week to give to you guys. And here's what it says. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I used to think, you know, how that verse was so awesome for funerals and things like that. And it is. Because blessed are those who mourn a loss, because they will be comforted. But when I studied it, here's what a lot of Bible commentators said. It's beyond just a loss. It carries with it the thought of mourning your sin. Of mourning it. I am so sorry I did that. I don't want to do it again. I want to change direction. I want to be a changed man, a changed woman. I want God in my life to the depths of my being. And so I mourn my sin. And here's what it says. God will comfort you. In other words, here's what it is. You'll start feeling God again. Doesn't that sound good? You'll start feeling Him again. It's like the woman caught in the act of adultery. They're all ready to stone her, and Jesus says, well, who's the non-guilty one? Go ahead, start first. And Jesus just kneels down humbly. Think of this. The Savior of the world kneels to this woman, looks up at her, and says, where are your accusers? She says, they all ran away. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. Start running a different direction, lady, and you'll start finding more than you ever could have found in any other way of your life. Romans 2, verse 4, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? I see it. And I'm just talking about me, all right? I'm not talking about you all, all right? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? See, it's not God's anger, his wrath. Mm-mm, you better straighten up out there. You all are sinners, and hell is hot. Okay? Which is true, both statements. But that's not what draws me to the Father. What draws me is his captivating, unspeakable love, grace, and mercy that has worked for me for decades. Times when I said, that'll be the last time. But I did it again. And you know what I found again? I found the grace, mercy, and love of a God who brings me. Oh, somebody praise him right now for that. His grace, his mercy. I want to be quick to repent. See, it's no wonder the enemy wants to fog you over. It's no wonder the enemy wants to keep you making excuses for your behavior, and he wants to keep you in that because you feel far from God. And you just keep drifting, drifting, and drifting. But like that prodigal son who said, I've come to my senses today. I'm going back to the Father's house. And he went and he found a father running to him. I want somebody to know today, if you will run to God today, you'll find a God who is running to you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us now to put this into practice, because we want to be so close to you that it doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. Nothing shakes us. We're strong in our faith. We're grounded in you. And so, Lord, today, just help us. Maybe you're here and you'd say, Craig, I don't want any barrier. I don't want anything being a barrier between me and my relationship with God. In 2025, I want any and all barriers to be dissolved, so that I can be closer to God in 2025 than I've ever been in all of my life. If that's your prayer, will you just raise a hand all over this room? Come on, church. Come on. You know who you are, right? It's all of us. Father, we want to be so close to you. We want to honor you with our lives. We know we're not perfect, and so, God, we come to you admitting that today. And for those of us who maybe are still struggling with something that we feel like we should have been over by now. God, help us to not fall under guilt and condemnation. Instead, in holy conviction from your Spirit, we ask that we would surrender that sin to you and turn today and run to you and find forgiveness and grace and mercy. Lord, touch your people, your church today. While we're still praying, there could be those of you that maybe the whole reason why you've never really been into church or you've never really been a spiritual person per se, avoid conversations maybe even about God or Jesus and don't really maybe even get uncomfortable with those is because of what I've been talking about here today. Maybe you grew up in a church where you just felt so bad week after week that one day you decided I'm just not going to go back and do that. I'm just not going to put myself through that. But maybe the whole reason you're here today is to hear that your Father, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about your Father, wants you to run to him. He's just waiting for you to come with all your sin, all your baggage, all of your excuses and everything, and just lay it all down and say, God, I want you to change my heart and life today. And here's the good news. Nobody is excluded. Anybody can do this. And anyone will be forgiven. If that's you here today and you just need the grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness of a Father who loves you so much, would you just raise a hand right now all over this room? Just raise it up. Say, yeah, that's me. That's me. I'm coming back to God. Online, just type the word decided in the chat, the word decided. We're going to be praying and believing God for your life as well. As a matter of fact, everybody pray this prayer so that those who need to pray it around you will pray it out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to take all my shame and guilt and put it on him and die with it on the cross as payment for all of it so that I can be free. Today I receive Jesus to be my sacrifice for sin. Today, I confess my need for you. I confess my sins to you. And I ask you to save me from them. As much as I know how, I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody. Praise him today for those who prayed that prayer. Awesome. Listen, there's next steps that you can take right from where you are. You can just text those words that are on the screen as to whatever it is that you need to do. Perhaps it's to get baptized. Maybe you just need to affirm your faith. And maybe you've been waiting till you got perfect. Well, that day's not going to happen, all right? So today's a good day to sign up for baptism, and you can go across the hall as well to our Next Steps room. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to really be sensitive to the Holy Spirit today. Because this is one of those messages where the devil hates it. Because it can cause us to say, you know what, I am uncomfortable feeling separated from God, and I want to get closer. But somehow between the pulpit and the parking lot, I mean, no, it doesn't always take long. You can get back to where you were. And I want freedom. I don't know about you. I want freedom. I want to live with guilt, sin, shame, baggage, stuff, whatever. I don't care if it's a week old or 25 years old. I don't want it on me. I want to give it to him. And so we're going to sing a song. I asked the worship team to sing a song for us. And all of us should come to the altar. Okay? But I'll let you decide that. Because I think all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And all of us want and need to get closer to Jesus today. So you see what the Lord's speaking to you. But let's stand. Worship team, lead us in this song. And as you feel the drawing power of the Holy Spirit today, I want you just to come and just say, God, I want to get close to you. I want to be more like you. I need you in my life. Yeah, they're already coming. Go, just go ahead and step out.